Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. State Court of Appeals has overturned a conviction against a man in connection with the 2020 plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Michigan News Network's Kyle Kimball.
Joseph Morrison had been found guilty and sentenced in 2022 after prosecutors argued he provided material support for a terroristic act. The Court of Appeals vacated the conviction Tuesday, ruling 3-0 that the trial judge had given flawed instructions to the jury. At trial, a lawyer for Morrison raised several concerns about the case. The appeals court focused on the argument that prosecutors had improperly relied on kidnapping as an underlying crime to support a conviction under the anti-terrorism statute. The judges found that kidnapping did not qualify as a violent felony, meaning the convictions could not stand. Michigan Attorney General Dennis Essel calling the decision completely and irredeemably nonsensical, outrageous, and irresponsible. Essel's office, who is responsible for prosecuting the case, says they will appeal.
Kyle Kimball, the Michigan News Network.
32-year-old Joseph Morrison is from the Munith area. Adrian police are investigating a homicide after a hospice patient died from an apparent medication overdose. Officers were called to a home in Adrian Monday afternoon for what was initially reported as a civil matter. During the investigation, police determined a family member had allegedly provided a fatal overdose of medication to the patient. Suspect was arrested on an open murder charge and lodged at the Lenawee County Jail while awaiting arraignment in district court. Police say there is no threat to the public. Investigation remains ongoing, and anyone with information is asked to contact the Adrian Police Department. Hot weather and severe storms can increase the threat of power outages.
And no one wants that to happen to them. Megan Kirk with Consumers Energy said it would be best to give the power grid a break, since many will be using their AC heavily in the next few days. She's encouraging customers to cut back on other things.
If you're able to delay any of those household chores, such as washing dishes or washing clothes, using any of those appliances that draw a good amount of heat, use those toward the morning hours or the late evening hours, because those tend to be the cooler portions of the day.
And she said Consumers is preparing for possible statewide thunderstorms on Wednesday and Thursday with the potential for high winds, and you should prepare too. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
Utility also says to take simple steps like closing blinds during the day, using ceiling fans, and shifting some of those chores, as previously mentioned. Consumers is also urging residents to stay hydrated, wear lightweight clothing, and never leave children or pets in parked vehicles. Company, in regards to those possible high winds and storms Wednesday and Thursday, they are encouraging everyone to charge their devices, assemble emergency supplies, and unplug sensitive electronics ahead of any storms. Consumers Energy says crews are ready to respond if outages occur. Jackson Area Transportation Authority once again providing hot tickets to take customers to designated cooling centers. That includes the Department on Aging today from 8 until 5, the MLK Recreation Center from 9 until 9, Westwood Mall, which is pet friendly from 11 to 9, and the Jackson District Library today from 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. If you need a hot ticket, or if you'd like more information, you can contact the Jackson Area Transportation Authority at 517-783-6437. Once again, that number for the Jackson Area Transportation Authority, 517-783-6437. Yesterday's severe weather has produced two tornadoes. The National Weather Service has confirmed an EF1 tornado touched down around 1:15 in Freeland between Saginaw and Midland. Reports of 30 to 40 homes with damage to roofs and siding and overturned campers in the area. The second one was reported minutes later in Montrose, northwest of Flint. They believe it was a brief small tornado in a farm field. This marks the 17th and 18th tornadoes of the year. there's more storms in the forecast the next few days. So be alert for sirens and weather alerts. Michigan school officials are asking legislators and Governor Whitmer to pass the K-12 budget ahead of the legislators' self-imposed July 1st deadline. Last year's budget wasn't finalized until the first week of October, leading to uncertainty on what resources would be available to districts. Staffing cuts, hiring pauses, and scaled-back programming were all results of the delayed budget. A letter from the Michigan Association of Superintendents and Administrators at the Michigan Association of School Boards urged lawmakers to ensure the same thing doesn't happen this year. Last week, State Representative Kathy Schmaltz had one of her bills pass unanimously in the House, her legislation regarding protecting older adults from their financial assets being taken from them by those who are supposed to be guardians, is now headed to the Michigan Senate.
We always hear, like you said, terrible stories of someone who's supposed to be a guardian for someone, taking care of them, protecting them, and all of a sudden all their financial assets are stolen. And it's really heartbreaking. So my bill will strengthen the oversight and financial protections. So when liquid assets reach $25,000 or more, the probate court has to be notified, a conservator has to be appointed, they either have to post a bond or utilize restricted bank accounts to safeguard all the assets. And then there'll be a financial inventory about bank statements, pension records, social security statements, and other information. This is just to protect people. And again, the vote was unanimous and now it moves to the Senate.
Representative Schmaltz was also part of testimony hearings for the state budget, including a request from the Jackson Fire Department to help fund an emergency training facility.
We had Jackson Fire Chief Tim Gonzalez. They need a new fire training tower out there. I don't know if you've seen it. It serves fire departments throughout Jackson County, and it allows firefighters to practice things like search and rescue, ladder operations, high-risk emergency situations, so that when an actual emergency happens, they're trained and ready to go. This helps departments all over. We're asking for about $1.2 million. It would be built almost like a house.
Worldwide you would go into a area house, agency, and you'd have to go through different rooms,
and you'd have to deal
program,
with certain
things.
That's
to help
that's really important to them
and themselves.
Like, we're hoping to get money for
neglected
that.
Neglected situations,
and we need to get them to safety. So we're asking for $400,000 to help with that. We also talked about food as medicine. Many of our hospitals now are moving toward this, which is great. It's prevention. So Trinity Health, the farm, is located in the Ypsilanti Ann Arbor area, and they're asking for money to help educate people. They don't just supply food for patients, but it's also families who have food insecurity, and then they buy food from our local farmers, which helps sell our farmers. It's a lot like what Jacob's doing with Crow Jackson, although it's connected with Trinity Health.
Other testimony included a request for WellWise services on aging's Safe Haven program and Trinity Health.
WellWise Services Area Agency we're in for the Safe Haven program, and that's to help older adults who find themselves in like abusive or neglected situations, and we need to get them to safety. So we're asking for $400,000 to help with that. We also talked about food as medicine. Many of our hospitals now are moving toward this, which is great. It's prevention. So Trinity Health, the farm, is located in the Ypsilanti Ann Arbor area, and they're asking for money to help educate people. They don't just supply food for patients, but it's also families who have food insecurity, and then they buy food from our local farmers, which helps sell our farmers. It's a lot like what Jacob's doing with Crow Jackson, although it's connected with Trinity Health.
Representative Schmaltz joins AM Jackson Friday mornings. We keep hearing how Michigan kids are falling behind in reading. Michigan News Network's Beth Fisher reports a bill is in the state Senate that would help a child in the third grade if they can't pass reading.
The president and CEO of the West Michigan Policy Forum, Jace Bolger, is championing that bill, which has passed the state house and is in the Senate. He has a message for residents.
I hope that they'll call their state senator, talk with their state senator, and say enough is enough. Michigan is falling, but more importantly, we're failing. We're failing our kids, and we cannot continue to do that. We're losing a generation of kids. And so I hope that they'll give their state senator the courage to step up, because there is opposition.
Bolger says other states have passed similar third grade retention bills and saw improvement in reading scores. Beth Fisher, Michigan News Network.
New partnership is making home ownership more affordable in Jackson. City of Jackson says qualified buyers who build a new home within the Martin Luther King Jr. corridor may be eligible for an additional $30,000 in down payment assistance through a partnership with the Martin Luther King Jr. Corridor Improvement Authority. When combined with existing incentives through the city's 100 Homes program, eligible buyers could receive up to $55,000 in assistance, with additional support potentially available through the state. The 100 Homes program has already helped bring 73 new homes to Jackson neighborhoods. Only 10 buyers can receive the new MLK corridor incentive, and 3 spots have already been claimed. Applications are due by July 6th, and funding will be awarded on a first-approved, first-served basis. Jackson-based organizations are teaming up to help high-tech startups bring new products to market. The Lean Rocket Lab and Jackson Area Manufacturers Association and the ShopRat Foundation have announced a new partnership designed to connect entrepreneurs with advanced manufacturing resources. The collaboration introduces the new Hearst Navigation membership, giving startups access to both the Lean Rocket Lab and the Advanced Manufacturing Training Center. For $300 a month, members can use workspace, prototype, and test products in a real manufacturing environment and connect with manufacturers and industry leaders through training sessions and networking events. Officials say the program will help bridge the gap between product development and real-world manufacturing while strengthening Jackson's role as a hub for advanced manufacturing and hard tech innovation. The membership is aimed at product-based businesses and Industry 4.0 startups looking to grow and validate new technologies. The 25th annual Jackson Blues Fest starts tomorrow at St. John's Elementary School soccer field and runs through the weekend. Blues Fest organizer Cindy Hayden says that it's an event that the community has gotten a hold of, with that support being the reason why the festival has been able to reach year 25.
There's so many acts, and we have our old sound guy back, who is just amazing. And the stage, you know, people just think you blink and it comes together, but you have the stage, the sound, the lighting, the porta-johns, the fencing, the bands, the hotel rooms, the, you know, we got to feed them the whole time they're here. I mean, the list goes on and on of all the things. People just think you blink and go, wee, let's have a festival today. But I love it. Since day one to where we are now, it's just been an amazing journey, and just so many kind people in the community. It took a while for some people to think it was going to last, but I think I've proved it.
Well, the Blues Fest sponsors are what provide the funds to make putting the weekend together possible. It has been the consistent attendance that has made donors believe that the Blues Fest will be a hit year in and year out.
It's just the crowd is just so wonderful. We've had people year after year.
Yeah.
1 year we had like a monsoon come through there. And we still had people sitting out there in their chairs under their umbrellas. I got pictures of it. Just like four people left, sitting out there waiting for it. They just love it. So
yeah,
but it's the people that make it all happen. I can work all year long for it, but if people don't show up, then it's just, you know, kind of worthless. So
one of the traditions that Cindy is most excited for is the performance from the Harmonica Hounds.
The Harmonica Hounds, is for me, that's like the greatest event.
Sure.
It's the first 50 kids that show up on Saturday. They get free harmonicas, t-shirts, and sunglasses, and I give them a little lesson on how to play, and we sing a song together, and I have people. Well, last year I had a guy that was one of my very first Harmonica Hounds, first year at Coolsville Tower Market, and he brought his son. So now we have second generation of Harmonica Hounds. Wow. It just warms my heart.
Just $10 a day. Kids 12 and under get in for free. You can find more information at the Jackson Blues Fest Facebook page. State transportation officials are making a major push to power Michigan's electric vehicle network. Dan Jenkins has more.
MDOT is officially accepting proposals for the third round of charging station contracts. This newest phase represents a $51 million investment aimed at building roughly 60 new EV charging stations across the state. Officials want those new stations online and ready for public use by 2029. The ultimate goal is to strategically close gaps in the current network, making long-range travel and tourism a lot more reliable for travelers who've ditched the gas pump. If you're a business or property owner interested in hosting a station, MDOT is holding a virtual pre-proposal meeting on June 18th. There's a sign-up link and a quick start guide on the state's website. Dan Jenkins for the Michigan News Network.
FIFA World Cup begins tomorrow with games to be held in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Michigan State University has been involved in doing research on the turf grass for the past 4.5 years. Leading that effort has been MSU Professor of Turf Grass Research, Dr. John Trey Rogers III.
You give FIFA credit, and between Michigan State University and the University of Tennessee, they've funded us for the last 5 years to help them solve these challenges. And so we're coming to the end of that now because the tournament's about to start.
FIFA funded the two universities between $6 and $7 million for the turf grass research. Now Rogers says they want to see that the grass will do exactly what the players predicted it will do as they play. Jackson Police Department kicks off their summer safety series today. That'll be at Kiwanis Park from noon until 1:30. Other dates are coming up July 8th at the MLK Center, August 19th at Loomis Park. They're going to have free food, games, safety info, bike and helmet raffles. You can meet public safety and interact with police cars and fire trucks. Again, that's happening today, noon to 1:30 at Kiwanis Park. Congratulations to the Grass Lake Warriors softball team as they came from behind and got a quarterfinal win yesterday over Ottawa Lake Whiteford, 4-3 for that final. They advanced to Saturday's state semifinal against Everett. That'll be at 10 o'clock, first pitch. And we'll have that for you on your favorite McKibben Media Group network of stations. More on that big Grass Lake win with our sports in just a bit. It's Wednesday, and it's the 10th day of June. Far out, man. It's Alcoholics Anonymous Founders Day. It's Ballpoint Pen Day. Prefer mine with blue ink. It's just the way I like it. National Black Cow Day. National Herbs and Spices Day. And National Iced Tea Day. Oh, we made some sun tea this weekend. It was epic. It was so good. It was on the state in 1909. The SOS distress signal was employed for the first time. It's on the state in 1925. The state of Tennessee adopted a new biology textbook that denied the theory of evolution. On the state in 1935, Alcoholics Anonymous was founded by William G. Wilson and Dr. Robert Smith. On the state in 1940, Italy declared war on France and Britain, while Canada declared war on Italy. It was on the state in 1976. Paul McCartney and the Wings set a record for an indoor concert crowd when 67,100 fans gathered in Seattle, Washington. It's on the state in 1999. NATO suspended airstrikes in Yugoslavia after Slobodan Milosevic agreed to withdraw his forces from Kosovo. So on this day in 2003, the first same-sex marriage license in North America were issued in Ontario, Canada. On this date in 2007, the last episode of The Sopranos aired. It was on this date in 2009, Alan Jackson gave a free concert to celebrate the 20th anniversary of his first record deal. So on this date in 2018, Vince Vaughn was arrested for drunk driving and resisting arrest outside of L.A. It was on this date in 2021, Emma Coronel Erspero, wife of drug lord El Chapo, she pleaded guilty to helping run his criminal operations and aiding his 2015 prison escape. Birthdays today include Eden McCoy, actress from General Hospital, 23. Sasha Obama is 25 today, daughter of President Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. Kate Upton is 34 today, supermodel actress. Tristan Mays from MacGyver, 36 today. Lily Sobieski is 43, actress, Never Been Kissed, Eyes Wide Shut. Tara Lipinski, 44, Olympic gold medalist, figure skater, NBC Sports commentator. Jonathan Binet, Mean Girls, 45 today. Shane West is 48, actor, A Walk to Remember, ER. DJ Qualls, 48, actor, Hustle and Flow, Z Nation. Dustin Lance Black, screenwriter, Milk, 52 today. Bill Burr, Breaking Bad, F is for Family, 58 today. Teresa Caputo, psychic medium, she's known for Long Island medium. She's 59 today. Elizabeth Hurley, actress, model, Bedazzled, Austin Powers, 61 today. Kate Flannery from The Office is 62. Jean Triplehorn from Basic Instinct, Big Love, 63 today. Gina Gershon is 64 today. Showgirls. Carolyn Henze is 64. Actress, Cougar Town, True Blood. Andrew Stevens from The Fury is 71 today. Prince Philip would have had a birthday today. Passed away in 2021. Judy Garland from The Wizard of Oz would have had a birthday today. She passed away in 1969. Maurice Sendak would have had a birthday today. The author of Where the Wild Things Are, he passed away in 2012. And Hattie McDaniel would have had a birthday today. The first black actress to win an Oscar for Gone with the Wind, she passed away in 1952. Other birthdays today include Gail, 22, singer. Lee Bryce is 47. Love Like Crazy. Faith Evans, R&B singer, is 53 today. JoJo Haley, second half of Casey and JoJo, is 55 today. Mike Daughtry, 56. Joe Santiago from the Pixies is 61 today. Jimmy Chamberlain is 62 today, drummer from the Smashing Pumpkins. And Maxie Priest has a birthday today. The Close to You singer is 65. I just wanna be Kim Deal from The Breeders, bassist, 65 today. Kelly Deal from The Breeders, guitarist, also 65. Shirley Alston Reeves from The Shirelles is 85 today. Darren Robinson, the human beatbox, would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 1995. And Howlin' Wolf, blues legend, he passed away in 1976. For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly. Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson podcast. We're going to start off with high school softball. As you heard yesterday on your favorite McKibben Media Group network of stations, live on Fox Sports with the one and only Connor Dockery on the call, a fabulous come-from-behind victory for the Grass Lake Softball Warriors 4-3 as they took down the Bobcats of Ottawa Lake Whiteford. It was the Warriors getting on the board first. It was an all wild pitch kind of day. And when the Bobcats made a mistake, the Warriors pounced. They got on the board first, top of the third, off of a wild pitch.
Still searching for the first run of the game. Pitch misses off the backstop, and Hemp slides in safely. A wild pitch brings in the first run of the game, 1-0 Warriors.
So that was off the bat. Well, not off the bat. Off the mark, so to speak. Whiteford tried to make a go of it. They got on the board in the bottom of the third with a sack fly.
3-1 to Spradling. Swing and a pop. This one in shallow right field. That one's caught. And the runner coming in. Great relay throw back in. Oh, Holyfield couldn't hold on to it. The throw was in time, but Holyfield, she turned to make the tag, but didn't take the ball with her. And it's a sacrifice fly and an RBI for Spradling. We're tied at one.
Spradling strikes again, bottom of the fifth with an RBI.
First pitch showing bunt pops just ahead of home. Conrad throw home, but not able to turn the tag. And that is going to score the go-ahead run for Whiteford. Infield single with an RBI, brought to you by Aspen One Hour, from Bailey Spradling.
Peyton Welch for Whiteford gets an RBI, bottom of the fifth. Whiteford's now up 3-1.
Now we got a swing and a grounder. This one right back to the circle, and then the throw to home, tag not in time. Oh, unbelievable. Trying to save these runs, but instead, Whiteford is scoring runs and continuing to pass the baton down the order with an endless stream of base runners.
On to the seventh, where again, Whiteford made the mistakes. Grass Lake pounced. Run scores off of a hit by pitch.
Tying run at second, go-ahead run at first. Next pitch, runs in and gets her! Hit by pitch, run comes in to score, and Grass Lake pulls to within one.
And then, still on the top of the seventh, a wild pitch ties up the contest.
Pitch bounces in the dirt, gets to the backstop, and this game is tied! Hillbearer scores from third. Both other base runners move up. 3-3, wouldn't you know it?
And then, still top of seventh, Grass Lake scores on another wild pitch.
First pitch goes to the backstop. Throwing for the score. Safe. Took a big bounce, a fortunate bounce for Whiteford, but not able to get the tag out. Henson scores the go-ahead run. Two runs in this inning scored on a wild pitch.
And then all Grass Lake had to do to secure the win, get the three outs in the bottom of the seventh.
1-2. Swing and a miss! And Grass Lake survives. Unbelievable rally. Scoring three runs in the top of the seventh inning on no hits. They take the lead, and Mo Conrad, for the first time today, gets through an inning in order, and Grass Lake moves on. Wow.
Grass Lake Friday, 10 a.m., will be facing Everett. They took care of Boyne City 6-2. So the winner of that state semifinal, Saturday morning, 10 o'clock on the campus of MSU, will face Ravenna or New Lothrop. They play at 12:30 on Friday on the campus of MSU. State final in Division III softball is Saturday at 3 o'clock. Let's pivot over to Major League Baseball, where the Detroit Baseball Tigers, they got themselves a win yesterday. They continued their winning ways. Some hot bats as they beat the Minnesota Twins 10-4 in the series opener. Game started almost 2 hours late after a rain delay. Then 11 of the 14 runs scored came off of home runs. Tigers hit four between Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter, Dylan Dingler, who had his second two-homer game of the season. It was back to forth pretty early in the contest. Let's get to some of the highlights. Let's get to Dylan Dingler's dinger in the first. This ties it up at a run apiece after Minnesota's Buxton got a dinger on the first pitch of the game in the first. Then Dingler says, "I'll see your dinger and raise you a dinger."
Still searching for the first run of the game.
Wait. There's that.
1-2. High fly ball hooking down the left field line. Way back and gone. Kept hooking. Kept it fair. 1-1 tie on Dylan Dingler's 15th home run of the year.
And then Green would hit a dinger in the second, making it 2-1. Minnesota's Bell would get a home run in the third, tied it up at two apiece. Green would get a sac fly in the third, and it would be 3-2 Tigers. Minnesota would tie it up on a Lee home run in the fifth. In the seventh, they would pull ahead off of a Clemens home run. And then Kerry Carpenter gets a two-run dinger in the fifth. Tigers are up 5-4.
Line drive to right field off the bat of Carpenter. This one's deep. Got a chance. Goodbye. Line drive to right. Number 9 for Carpenter. Tigers back on top 5-4.
And that's really all they would need, but the rest of it's just insurance, including this dinger from Dingler of the three-run variety in the sixth.
The pitch. High fly ball to left. Deep! Gone! Second home run of the game, number 16. Who needs a triple? Dylan Dingler's 4-for-4. Three-run shot gives the Tigers an 8-4 lead.
And Gleyber Torres would add the final two runs with a bases-loaded single in the seventh to score Green and Torque. So the Tigers go on to win 10-4 yesterday at Comerica Park. Elsewhere for Major League Baseball, you had the Mariners topping the BO 6-5, Marlins over the Diamondbacks 10-6, Dodgers beat up the Pirates 12-3. It was the Rays over the Red Sox 4-3. Stankies got a win over the Guardians 3-2. Blue Jays beat the Phillies 3-2. Cardinals shutting out the Mets 7-0. White Sox over the Braves 6-5. Royals topping the Rangers 5-3. Rockies got a win over the Cubbies 7-3. Angels getting a 10-1 win over the Astros. Reds beat the Padres 5-3. Natties on top of the Giants 6-3. And the Athletics beat the Brewers 7-5. So with the Tigers win yesterday, Guardians lost. That puts the Tigers at 8 games back. They're on pace with the Royals, who are also 8 games back right now. White Sox are a half game back. Twins are 6.5 back. So it's starting to tighten up just a little bit in the AL Central. Twins 12-20 on the road. Tigers 17-15 at home. Detroit at minus 175 for tonight. And the predictors are putting Detroit at 54.4%. Bullpen day for the Twins. And we've got Framber Valdez on the bump for the Tigers today. We'll have that down the hall to the left. Fox Sports 101.9 FM for Detroit Tiger baseball. In the NHL yesterday, it was the Hurricanes evening things up with the 5-3 victory. The Knights and Hurricanes play tomorrow, 8 o'clock, in the Stanley Cup Finals. Again, that series tied up at 2 games apiece. The Spurs are going to try to tie things up today as they trail the Knicks 2-1. Tip time in New York, 8:30 in the NBA Finals. And one more thing before we leave you here. Add Grass Lake Community Schools to the mix of Jackson Area Schools who have hired a new athletic director. The Board of Education approved the hiring of Tyler Hughes, currently serves as AD and athletic interventionist at Springport Public Schools. Hughes will officially begin July 1st. He replaces Brian Zalud, who stepped down last November, with Grass Lake High School Principal Brian Thompson serving as interim AD. Hughes brings experience as a teacher, athletic administrator, and coach, including time as a head basketball coach at Spring Arbor University. School officials say his leadership background, Jackson County connections, and passion for athletics made him a strong fit for the position. Grass Lake officials say they look forward to Hughes helping build on the district's strong athletic tradition. Northwest and Michigan Center have also recently hired new ADs in the offseason. That's your sports, courtesy of Kettlebell Hotspot Sport and Fitness Center. We'll get to your weather forecast from Walt Insurance after this quick word from...
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
At 7:35, 25 minutes now in front of 8 o'clock, and we welcome to the studio. It's a pleasure to have Craig and Devin back in the studio with us with Boers Fresh Market and Diner. Gentlemen, good morning and welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Everything well with you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? So far, so now is the Fresh Market part of Boers still open? Because I know that kind of opens and closes depending on the season, right?
Yeah, we're still open. We still have a few hang baskets and flowers in great shape and some perennials and stuff like that. It's kind of getting to the end of the season.
Right.
But if you've kind of waited and you still need to grab a few things, we're filling a couple holes in your garden. We got a few things there, and
okay,
about 6 weeks or so, 5-6 weeks, the veggies and all the produce will start coming in.
Okay,
it's funny because people always ask, "Is the corn in yet?" It's like, well, they just planted it a couple weeks ago.
Not even so knee high
gonna,
yet.
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit. Yeah.
But, start watering.
Yep. Right. But yeah, if we get to, you know, good weather and stuff, we'll have some produce in here in a few weeks.
Now we've been hit and miss with the rain. It was the rain was kind of weird yesterday because I was like driving home, and it got so thick to a point to where it was really hard to see even with my wipers on full blast. But by the time I got home,
It's like that part wasn't even touched. It was just bone dry. Yep. Now, you have your stuff coming in, but does the rain impact your inventory at all?
Not too bad, as long as we don't have like a bad drought or anything like that. It's been pretty wet spring so far, so we're...
Yeah. It's just like the last 2 weeks have been a little...
Yeah,
a little dry the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and Napoleon's kind of a funny place. We often don't get the rain the city gets. So you think, which is just weird. A mile away. Yeah.
Same thing with the Horton area where I live. It's like everybody just with the vortex or whatever makes it go all the way around us. So
yeah, that 94 corridor, they get hit.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Boer's Fresh Market and Diner. Let's talk about some of the items on the menu. And I feel like I failed you. And I apologize because I feel like I failed you because we have been loyal customers. We usually are there a couple times a month, and I missed out on the patty melt, which I absolutely love. We missed out on the meatloaf, which I absolutely love. And you guys have just had some great specials that have hit that we just haven't made lately. So I'm so sorry. I haven't been.
No problem. We'll make it up to you.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm looking forward to this weekend because you've got a new item on the menu, right?
Yeah, I know you said you like hot things.
Oh, I like it
spicy. Find out, you know, if that's true or not. You know, put you up against the wall there and make you try it out. Right?
Can you make it spicier?
Yeah,
Dev.
Good. Yeah.
Can you? All right. Yeah. All right.
Get some kind. On the side or something. Right.
So, what's the special this Friday and Saturday?
This weekend we're doing buffalo chicken cheesesteaks.
Man,
which be fun. Yeah, it
sounds a little different.
Yeah, it's a little different. It's we don't do a lot of different cheesesteaks or even like big kind of hoagie type things.
Right.
So it's fun to do. I really like a hoagie style sandwich.
For sure.
So, today we're gonna be cooking up some chicken thighs. We're gonna be confiting them with some garlic and thyme and stuff like that. And we'll slice them up tomorrow in little cubes and throw it on the grill, cook it with some buffalo sauce that we make, some homemade blue cheese dressing and melt American cheese all the way through it. I mean, peppers, onions. That's about it. That's all you need. Yes.
I feel like that dog video. Yeah. And then what? What's next? I've said that before when you guys have been in here, but man, it just sounds.
When buffalo sauce. I do the same thing when I hear buffalo sauce. It's my favorite.
Oh, man. That sounds so good. So this is a new one. And you don't, you kind of have opportunities throughout the year where you try new things, and we're kind of at that time. Where did this come from?
Buffalo chicken is just one of my favorite things, and I think I just saw somebody talk about it one day. I'm like, dude, we should make that. You know,
it's there you go.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's hard. It's not hard for me to make buffalo sauce
for sure.
Sell it at the restaurant.
All right, so you make your own, right, from scratch?
Yeah. It's pretty simple, but the main difference that we like to do is we actually add some celery seed, which is actually in buffalo. I from what I hear, that's kind of a little touch they add. Some celery seed, maybe a little Worcestershire, just a little stuff to give it a little. Usually just Frank's hot sauce and butter, but we add just a couple things. Just give it a little edge, you know.
Okay. See, in the Daily House, the Frank's extra hot.
Yes, sir.
That's considered mild.
Yeah, it's not hot sauce.
It's the extra.
It's Frank's.
It's Frank's. Go with the Frank's extra hot. But all right, because we like it spicy.
Yeah.
In the Daily household. All right. Some of the other things that are happening at Boer's, Craig, you and I were talking about. There's plans. I think we hinted on it last time you were in, but it feels like the plans have kind of moved forward to expand a bit out of Boer's.
Sure, yeah. We're talking with an architect here, and he's supposed to be getting back with us here in about a week or so.
Okay.
Try to set up plans for expansion, get a bigger dining room, maybe for like a little area for like events and stuff like that.
Okay.
A new kitchen and stuff. So it's a good thing. You know, the business has been growing, and we've kind of reached a point where, you know, we started off small, but it's pretty crowded on busy nights and stuff like that. So
it'd
be nice to have some more tables for bigger groups and things like that.
Right. So what's your vision for this? To build forward, to build back, off to the side?
Kind of over to the side. So we'd actually take a sidewall out and move the dining room over to the west.
Okay.
And over towards the greenhouse and really kind of connect that all together.
Oh.
And have a big open area there, kind of like an L. And also expand the market side of it too. So have a little more display cases where people could grab lasagnas or spaghetti or things like that to go.
Right.
And because that's a big pie. Or a pie, yeah.
Right.
Expand the pie thing. It's a good problem to have. You know, I think, you know, better serve customers and all that.
So, okay. Yeah. So what's now, again, you're waiting to hear back from the architect, but what's your goal here? When do you want to have the extra seat? When should we plan the ribbon cutting ceremony?
Yeah, it'll probably be at least a good year or so. I just know that there's a lot of steps you have to go through, and a lot of these things, you can't do one thing until you get the other thing approved. So it's not like you can just start digging. You know, it's commercial properties are different. You know, it's obviously if you're building a house, you have steps you have to go through there, but there's a little bit smoother process. With a business, there's a lot of other things you got to factor in. You know, like, you know, parking isn't an issue when you build a house. You know, you add on the expansion. It's like, well, you know, how many cars do you need?
Plenty of parking there.
Yeah. Does that affect the county road or anything like that? Those are all kind of considerations that become a thing, you know, when you run a business. So kind of finding out the hard way when they first open. It's like, oh, you can't just like get a carpenter buddy come out and start doing stuff. It's a lot more.
Are you busier now running Boers than you were as a teacher at Napoleon?
No.
Okay.
Obviously, you know, teaching, you have summer vacation and things like that. Where you're as busy, but during the school year, especially when I was coaching, I was as busy then as I am now.
A different kind of busy.
Just a different kind of busy. Yeah. You're up earlier in the morning, you know, when you're teaching school, but it would be pretty hectic days when I was teaching and coaching and doing stuff like that. So it's fine. It's, for me, it's not a hard transition from a work standpoint. It doesn't feel, this one, you know, you don't have like breaks as much. You know, you have to kind of stay on task all the time. So that's kind of more the deal.
Right.
Yeah. It's
And for our listening audience, this is something that you kind of carried over from when you were teaching. Because you were entertaining some of the kids in your class with study sessions and whatnot. I had conversations with Tom Knudsen, and his kid would be coming over for your study sessions where you're cooking up for the kids.
Yeah. So like you'd be teaching, you'd coach football, wrestling, run to the store, grab some food, run back to the house, start whipping up food. Kids come in, you got this meal, you're doing a study session. It's pretty late at night by the time you wrap everything up. So it's fun. I'm one of those people, I enjoy that kind of hectic, crazy. So it feels good to me. I like it. I enjoy it. So now I can just focus on food. So it's a little bit easier in that regard.
Yeah.
So.
Now, between the two of you, as we have Craig and Devin from Boers Fresh Market and Diner in the studio with us, between the two of you, what's like the favorite thing that's not a special, but the favorite thing that's on your menu that's available there every day?
Mine would be the bacon jalapeno burger. That's my favorite.
Pretty good.
Yep,
that's pretty good.
It just hits the spot every time.
Yeah.
Fresh jalapenos. I know.
Yeah. And that's a smash burger, right?
Smash burger, yes. Okay.
What is the secret to getting that good crisp edge on the smash burger?
So really what you smash it down with is your big deal. It's, you know, say smash, but you almost want to think smear. Don't be afraid to smear your burger a little
super
bit.
Super thin then.
Yes. And I mean, the edges are what's important. I actually kind of make mine almost in a convex shape a little bit. So there's a little more meat in the center of it, more mass.
Really?
So it can be juicier. And then the edge, I kind of just kind of taper it right off, right there.
Do you have the press that you use,
the
spatula?
Yep. Okay. And all of them work good. We've used presses before. We do spatulas now, but anything works great. You could even use a pot if you don't have a spatula at home. You could use like a little sauce pot and, you know, flatten it out that way. So.
All right.
Yeah, I'd say for me, it's everything on the menu. It's what mood I'm in.
Okay.
Because the menu
that
is
makes
the,
sense. That's
yeah, the
call.
Menu is the stuff I love to eat. So I kind of try to tie the menu to my passion. So sometimes I'm in the mood for a fettuccine. Sometimes I'm in the mood for a burger. Sometimes just whatever I'm feeling. So.
Well, and it has to be kind of difficult, I would imagine. It's a numbers game. You have to figure out what you can always kind of have readily available. You don't want to put too many things on your menu to where it's kind of overwhelming. You want to have just the right number of the best items on your menu, but you still kind of have to freshen it up every once in a while, right?
Yeah, that's where the specials come in. That's the game. You know, you realize if you're going to make the food, you literally cannot have too many things on your menu. It becomes impossible logistically to make all that different kind of food, especially if it has radically different ingredients, because now you got to stock that stuff. It's a whole different process. So if you keep it limited and then you run specials, you know, like the buffalo chicken or something like that, you can kind of experiment with your specials.
Yeah.
And then you have your your base menu that kind of drives the bus and keeps it all going in the same direction.
Now, how often do you have those during the week specials that just kind of pop up?
Those are random.
Yeah, so okay.
It just kind of depends. Sometimes it'll be, we just got an itch, we got a scratch, or we got to take care of this.
We got lucky. One time we popped in and you guys had a turkey Reuben on special during the week. I was like, bonus. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it was probably from having a little extra rye bread. That's
okay.
Guess.
That's what it was.
Probably did patty melts on the weekend.
Do that whenever you want.
Yeah. Most of our specials are new setups. A lot of times restaurants will do a special where they're using stuff up, which is smart and good to do. Mm-hmm. But ours are kind of a special event. But every once in a while, you know, the amount of stuff you buy doesn't line up. So you got to kind of figure out a way to use it. So.
Okay. Do you ever use that during the week special opportunity just to kind of test the waters on something to see, hey, this might be something we're going to try later?
It's lower stakes. So we're doing a new one, you know, this Friday, and it's not hard to do, but when you do, when you've never done something before in our little setup, you know, it gets a little, you know, there's variables. So the middle of the week is a nice time to just kind of do, make a smaller amount, see what people think, lower stakes. So
We've talked before about the quality of stuff, because it all starts with the ingredients. You can have, and you've got great people in the kitchen, you've got great staff there, but it all starts where you originally get your product, right?
Yeah. If you don't have processed things, and if you're doing things from scratch, you're just going to get a better result, you know. And like, people think, they swear, like, say, for example, the hamburgers, we have some special stuff we're putting in the meat. It is literally just salt and pepper, but we're getting the meat from A&A. I don't know if you know much about the meat industry and stuff, but a lot of the burger you get, it is processed. Who knows what cuts of meat are in there? It's not that it's bad. It's, you know, passes inspection, but hamburger is so much better when you grind it from a whole cut of meat. A&A grinds from a whole chuck roll. You know, we get there several times a week, so we're getting it fresh, usually within hours of the time it was ground. Yeah. We don't ball up burgers until the day we're going to serve them, kind of thing. So those little things like that, and it's going to taste way better. And it doesn't.
Do you pay attention to fat content?
A little bit. It's like an 80-20 split.
Okay.
But the biggest thing is the fresh. Once you pull that burger away and you separate it, it's going to start oxidizing. And the more it's sitting out, like if you pre-press your patties and they're sitting there for several days, there's nothing wrong with them, but they're not going to taste as good as if you just balled them up. That's one of the advantages of a smash burger, is you keep it in that ball and you keep it covered, and you're only throwing it out on the grill right when it's time to serve it. So it's going to be fresher. It's going to be juicier.
Yeah.
It's just, meat dries out when it's exposed to air.
What's the secret with the fries? Because your fries are unlike anything else in Jackson. They're so good.
Our fries are very simple, just like the burgers. We use salt and pepper. We do pre-cook them so we can get the inside of the fry a little tender. It's called blanching. You can do it with any vegetable. And we just soak them in water with some salt, take them out, blanch them for 7 minutes. Wait,
do you buy the fries, or you buy the whole potato?
Oh, we punch them fresh. Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. So we cut up our potatoes. They're not frozen. Frozen fries are actually pretty good, but we like a more rustic kind of feel to it. So it's got that homemade kind of quality to it.
Can you use any type of potato to make fries, or what do you guys?
Yeah, you could. People use sweet potatoes, you know. I don't know why people
do
that.
Those are just weird.
I'm not sure. No,
those are just weird people.
If you can use a sweet potato, then you can use any as far. We've only tried russets, but there's a lot of varieties.
Okay.
Russets are good.
Yukon Gold.
Nice sugar content. Yeah, Yukon Gold.
Kennebec.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. What's coming up? Anything? I mean, we talked about the expansion, but anything as far as any other new items that you guys are kicking around that we might see on the special or a mid special thing that you're kind of testing the waters on right now?
Yeah, I think we did put a couple things down. I like chicken wings, so I think we're going to do some different new flavors of chicken wings this year.
Okay.
Maybe try some smoked wings, huli huli chicken.
Okay. I don't often see smoked stuff on your.
Yeah, we got a new smoker, so we kind of got to use it.
Yeah.
Oh, so is there going to be like brisket in the future then? Or?
Well, maybe. We used the smoker on
I used
May
that
5th.
Well, maybe. Devin's over here shaking his head, yes.
I didn't even tell him about it.
Well, May 5th, we had the tacos, and we did smoked chuck roast tacos, and those were very, very popular. Yes. So I think, you start playing with stuff. And I did smoke a brisket just for us. Uh-huh. And then we'll do that a lot. We'll kind of play with food. So the brisket came out really, really good.
I'm sure it did. So,
yeah, doing those kinds of things, maybe some kind of a French dippy type thing, but a smoked meat, that'd be nice to do. So,
gotcha.
We actually do make food and mess around back there sometimes.
Mm. Like,
and
when do you have time to do that?
That's the game, yeah. When it's a slow day, you better have an idea ready to go. You better run to Meijer and know what you want to get and come back and make it that day, because it's few and far between.
And there's some wannabes, like he's doing the buffalo chicken. My first thing is, hey, I hope there's some blue cheese crumbles left over. I can make a little bacon blue cheese burger, which those are super yummy.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. So, I saw a squirrel and I went after, but you were talking about wings. Are we talking like full wings? Do you do the wings, the flats and drummies, or what?
We
usually
do flats and drummies. We get them from A&A. They're great. They always cook good. They're super fresh. So normally we roast them, cool them down, and then fry them per order. So maybe we might try smoking this time just to see what.
Just to see. It's not like you're going to screw it up, right?
Yeah, well, I thought for Huli Huli chicken, it's usually cooked over an open flame, so there's that smoky quality, and it's a hard thing to get in our restaurant. We don't have a char grill, so we can't get a charred flavor, so smoker might be a cool way to go.
Sounds like he's dropping a hint, like he wants...
Well, honestly, with the expansion, that's one of our plans, is to get a char grill in there.
Okay.
And we'll start having char grilled meats and maybe be able to do kebabs and things like that and grilled chicken breasts and stuff like that, so... Yeah, just our whole goal is just towards improvement, doing things, but doing them even better.
Right.
And so the more tools we can have to do that, the better we are. But yeah, it's fun. It's fun playing with food. We're kind of in a spot being able to experiment a little bit lately. So,
well, good. You know me. Whenever you're playing with food, if you need an outside opinion. 3405 Brooklyn Road in Jackson. They're open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 8. You can find their full menu on their Facebook page. Of course, that's where they post up all their specials too, at Boer's Fresh Market and Diner. The Buffalo Chicken Cheesesteak this weekend. Yes, how big is that?
Oh, it's an 8-inch sub roll.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be. It's not going to be unmanageable for
you. That served? No, it's not.
It'll be all right.
Will that be served with fries, with chips?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Oh,
our
man.
Hand cut fries.
That sounds so good. Craig Devin from Boer's Fresh Market and Diner. Anything left untouched that we didn't talk about here today that our listeners need to?
Probably, but we'll talk about it next time.
All right. Yeah. We'll have you in next. And by the way, thank you for the donation. Jen and I did a thing with the Irish Hills Chamber of Commerce, and you donated a couple pies for that auction for us.
Hopefully
we appreciate
it did well
that.
For you.
Oh, it went really well. Cool. I mean, we got two pies, but they both made it there. One almost did.
I was going to say, you didn't eat them on the way? Yeah.
You gave us that blueberry pie, and that was, oh, man.
You just could have sold a slice.
I could have.
Yeah.
I guess I could have. I wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
Next time.
Requires planning. Careful planning.
Next time.
Yeah.
Hey, this was a pleasure. Thanks for being here today, guys. Sure. Appreciate it.
No problem.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
And we'll make our way to ABC News headlines in a little bit, courtesy of Think Jackson. But it's a pleasure to have Erica Garner in the studio here with us today from Jackson College. Erica, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Now, no, wait, you've been with Jackson College for just a hot minute, right?
Yeah. Just maybe 8-9 months or so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what is your role?
My title is Director of Employer Customized Training. So I work to reach out to industry partners and employers in the Tri-County area to customize specific trainings that they need to upskill their team, pulling from the expertise at the college and really providing that service to those employers.
Working for the college, but basically it almost sounds like a liaison between
absolutely.
The college and employers. So you specialize in creating training for these other organizations in town for the student bodies at Jackson College. I understand that right?
Yeah, and can both sides, or just their team.
For their team too.
They might not have to be. Yep, it's kind of twofold, right? We want to be able to help the employers upskill their current team and provide those trainings and skills that they need specific to the job that they're doing. But it's also great to make the partner connections with employers and okay. industry partners so that they can tell the college,
yeah.
we need these skills for our incoming, you know, new hires. And okay. we obviously want them to hire from Jackson College. We want to yeah. create that pipeline. So it's a twofold relationship.
Can you talk about some of the businesses and organizations that you've worked with in town?
Yeah, we work with some different manufacturers doing blueprint readings and different measurements, GD&T, but measurement trainings. I should know what the acronym is. It's something with precision measurement.
Okay.
Then we also do some trainings when it comes to leadership. So we've got a Leading Edge series leadership training that we've done with a couple of different companies. Mm. We've done some social work trainings as well. So lots. It runs the gambit.
Okay. Are we seeing that there's like a lack in leadership from those who are, I mean, we're talking about students that were kind of coming up through the COVID era now in the professional world, and COVID impacted everything.
Yes.
You know, are we noticing that there's some, are we seeing some struggles in the workforce for those who were being educated during COVID?
I think there's just always room for improvement, right?
Well, that's that makes sense.
Yeah. I think there's always room for improvement. I think that's really showing that these companies want to just invest in their team and lift up their skills and add to those skills. I think the durable skills, we used to call them, soft skills, we mm-hmm. call them durable skills now. Those are the pieces that we like to really help with. Communication, right?
Yeah.
Being able to pick up the phone call and have a conversation with somebody. Time management, that kind of stuff as well.
Right.
We try to help with, and all, you know, specifically with our students at the college, but really we offer it to the public as well, because I think we all can have practice in building up and massaging those skills.
I love how you said picking up the phone and talking with somebody. And I know that's because of what I do. I like to talk to people. When someone says, oh, just shoot them a text, I'm like, no, I'm going to leave them voicemail.
Yeah.
They can still see it, but I just like, you know, and that feel like, yeah, that's a soft skill. And I feel like we kind of moved away from that.
And that personal technology connection.
Technology has kind of aided in moving away mm-hmm. from that a little bit too. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I love it. Okay. So if we have a lot of business leaders who listen to us on the regular. So if somebody out there is saying, hey, I think this might be a good fit for my employees, what do? Do they get a hold of you directly? Do they call the college?
However works for them. I mean,
okay.
you can call the college. You can reach out and look up our training, our workforce. Mm-hmm. We have workforce training website at Jackson College's website.
Okay.
We've got different ways you can submit Google forms to request a training. I again would always love a phone call. So if anyone wants to call me, at the college, Eric Garner, I would love to have a conversation and kind of talk through what can we do for you.
So do you kind of create these trainings from scratch working with employers in town?
I won't take any credit for the training development. Uh-huh. We have amazing faculty at the college that will sit down. I'm kind of that middle person.
Right.
So I bring
the liaison.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I bring the employer to the table. I bring the faculty to the table. They have those conversations saying, hey, these are the skills that I need. And the faculty can pull from their curriculum, but they also pull from their own expertise, obviously, and create that training. And it's so great because if we're doing something with like welding inspection, they'll pull from, or looking at blueprints for whatever product they're creating, they get to practice on that specific blueprint because we bring the training to them as well. They don't have to come to the college. They can, but they don't have to come to the college for it. So it's really great. It's very specific.
Yeah. How'd you fall? Can I ask how you fell into this? This isn't the type of a job when someone is in grade school saying, I want to do this when I grow up.
Right?
You know?
Well,
so if you don't mind, can you just share just a little bit of your, we've got other things to talk about today, but can you just share a little bit of your journey for me?
So I think it's funny. I grew up a teacher's daughter, right?
Okay.
And so I've always watched my mom be the most amazing teacher.
Huh.
And while I wasn't necessarily called to be a K-12 teacher, I wanted to be in training. And so I kind of fell into lots of different things. But then my previous role, I was a statewide trainer in nutrition and health. And then when this job came up, it said training. So I was like, I think I can do this.
Okay.
I got into it going, wow, there's a lot going on, but it's just been so amazing. I get to tour a lot of different facilities, different companies, and seeing all of what Jackson and Hillsdale and Lenawee have to offer.
Okay.
It's been amazing. So it's one of those things. It's just happenstance, but It's been amazing.
What are, see, I had a chance, when I was with United Way, I had a chance to tour quite a few facilities in Jackson. What's one for you that stood out?
I think it might have been the first one that I went to, and it might just because it was the first. Orbit Forum was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, Shirky's place. Yeah,
it was awesome. I mean, it was awesome leadership. We had a great meeting, and then just going through and seeing all the little parts and pieces that, you know, it's a product that it ends up being a product that I'm familiar with, but I wouldn't have thought about, you know, the retractable arms for a, you know, a recliner. Those have to be made, right? So it was really, really cool.
That's really cool. Awesome. Well, you also, your department is also in kind of like the planning and events business too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Community events, community workshops. All of that.
So you have a Flag Day event coming up. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So it's called Stars, Stripes, and Stories, Discovering the American Flag. We are doing it on the day after Flag Day. So Flag Day is June 14th. We're going to be hosting it at the college on June 15th. Mm-hmm. So we've got a quick 2 hours of activities planned. We've got right at 10 o'clock, hoping for great weather, really putting it out there that's going to be 65 and sunny, because that would be
It was supposed to rain all day Saturday, and look how that ended up. So, you know.
Right. So,
it'll be
good.
It's Michigan.
It'll
be fine.
We'll make the call Monday morning, whether it's going to be indoors or outdoors. But hopefully outdoors underneath the flagpole we have a Spirit of America Memorial right there at the front of the college. So we're going to have a fantastic presenter, Dr. Flowers. He's a Lieutenant Colonel of the U.S. Army Reserve. He's got a wonderful, impactful speech prepared. Then we'll have the national anthem sung by one of our own at Jackson College. And then we're going to open it up to activity tables. So if you want to come for the presentation, fantastic. If you have littles, because this is all ages. If you've got littles that you're like, I don't know if they're going to sit through a presentation, come afterwards. Come at 10:30, between 10:30 and noon. And visit our activity tables, where they're going to get to do crafts like making American flag bracelets and windsocks, coloring pages. We have physical activities that we're going to do. Write a thank you note to a veteran or service member table. Learn how to fold the flag properly. Lots and lots of different activities.
Okay.
Trivia, true and false.
Yeah.
So much learning and fun to just discover the American flag.
Well, it sounds like it's perfect timing, not only because of Flag Day, but, you know, kids are out of school now, and it doesn't take long for them to get nudgy.
Yes.
And need to find something to do.
Get them out.
Load them up, take them out, and just have fun. And introduce them to Jackson College, too, right?
Beautiful campus.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. We love having people come to campus. Even though sometimes it feels like we're so far away from Jackson, I will tell you,
it's not far.
We can see the Consumers Building from campus. Come check it out.
What building do you have to get on top of?
You have to be by the water tower.
Okay.
Not on the water tower, just by the water tower. Jackson College is quite elevated.
It is.
Quite
it
high.
Is.
So. Yeah. It is cool. So that would be something to check out.
And it always feels like there's something going on. If I ask you questions that's outside of your department, just, you know, let me know. But boy, I was driving by one day and it was raining. It looked like it was a horrible, icky day out there. And I could tell there were people who were training to be linemen for Consumers, because they were going up and down the poles.
100%.
And some horrible, it wasn't lightning, but it was pretty miserable.
Huh? Yeah, we have a fantastic team that runs that department. It's a really cool new program that we've got going on with really great people and a fantastic facilities that we've just opened back in February. So yeah, we've got linemen working really, really hard to become a journeyman one day.
Yeah, so that looks really cool. All right, so we were talking a little bit earlier. Is there like a food element to the event that's happening on Monday?
Of course. Food is important, right?
It is.
Our event's scheduled to end at noon, but that fun doesn't stop there, because we have a fantastic dining commons. Okay. Our cafeteria on campus has a wonderful, very, very talented staff, and they are offering a $3 off coupon for entrees. So please come for lunch.
Okay.
And visit the campus cafeteria. It's open to the public, and we'd love to serve you amazing food.
All right. Erica Garner joining us here from Jackson College. Do we talk about everything? Is there anything we missed? What didn't we hit on that our listeners need to know about?
No, I just really appreciated being able to speak to you all on Flag Day. We're really excited about this. This is our inaugural Flag Day event, and we are just, we're really hoping to have a good turnout. We'd love to see the community come, visit the campus, interact with our activity tables, learn something new about the flag, and really celebrate what the flag means.
Okay. Any of the activities going to involve glitter?
No glitter.
Because once one activity has glitter, they all have glitter.
Right. But maybe next year.
Maybe next
year. Glitter makes people happy, so glitter is good.
All right. Well, that's going to be a lot of fun, and it runs from 10 until noon on Monday the 15th. Burt Walker Hall is the rain location, but you're going to be, is weather permitting, you're going to be out at the flagpole.
We'll be right out at the front, so you won't be able to miss us. It'll be right at the entrance, and if it is raining, which we're not going to put it out there, but if it is, we'll have good signage to get you into Burt Walker, which is the building with the nice big glass windows.
Erica Garner joining us here from Jackson College. A pleasure. Thank you for being here today.
Great. It was a great way to start my Wednesday morning.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.